Hello. Thank you for downloading this sermon by Pastor Casey Halenchek. Casey is a missionary pastor with Village Missions. Currently, Casey and his wife Hope and their six children serve the Bangor Community Church and the surrounding area of Bangor, California. Village Missions exists to glorify Jesus Christ by developing spiritually vital community churches in rural North America. We now invite you to open your Bibles and journey with us.
All right, well, if you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. As most of you know, if you do not have a Bible, or if you need a Bible or know somebody that needs a Bible, you can see me after the service and we can help to rectify that situation. Last week, we saw Jesus addressing the crowds around him. We saw Jesus go and cast out a demon. We saw the response of the crowds to him, and we saw Jesus then address those crowds. Jesus was teaching to these crowds, as Mark says in his gospel, as one who had authority. This was a higher teaching, a more authoritative teaching than the crowds were used to hearing in those days. And so we look at what Jesus was seeing, and we saw last week that there were three separate groups of people in the crowd. And those three types of people fell onto two different sides of the issue. The issue being, of course, who is Jesus? On one side, we see those who believe that Jesus is who he claims to be. Simple enough. The second and third groups are on the other side. We have those who either actively don't believe, who are crediting Jesus' miracle to the power and the work of Satan, or those who were not able or willing to believe, to make a choice, those who were looking for more signs and more evidence. And as we learned last week, as we look, what we look for, we will find, whether it's true or not, whether it's right or not. Whatever our lenses are that we view the scriptures, that we view the word of God, we will find evidence and responses to that. There is no neutrality. And that was one of Jesus' big points. You either believe or you don't. You either follow Christ or you don't. You hear and you see the truth or you don't. And as we continue this morning, Jesus is continuing to address that very same crowd and continue with what he was sharing. The same three groups of listeners that we looked at last week. So we'll go ahead and read this week's passage, Luke chapter 11, verses 27 through 32. In this, I encourage you to follow along in your Bible with your preferred translation. I will be reading from the English Standard Version. Luke 11, 27 through 32. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with the generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here." Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. So again, in the setting of this, we see Jesus is continuing to address the same crowd, the same people as we looked at last week, the same instances, the same timing. There is no separation between what we read last week and what we read this week. And as he was saying these things, the things he had just said, the no neutrality, that he is stronger than Satan, that he works through and with the power of God, the things that he was telling the crowd, he is saying these things. And this lady in the crowd, she shows which side she's on. She shows where her loyalties lie. She's Team Jesus. And she yells out that he is so great that even his mom is blessed. Blessed is she who took care of you, who birthed you, who nursed you, who raised you. you turned out so well, she must be amazing. Hope often will read about, these people, and I want to meet their mom. Read these biographies, read these histories of missionaries or whoever. And it's like, yeah, I'd love to sit down and have a conversation with that. I want to meet their mom that raised them and hear the stories about what went into making that. And this is how I see this lady. She sees who Jesus is. She sees that Jesus is who he says he is, and all these miraculous signs and wonders and this authoritative teaching. And she's like, I want to meet his mom. Blessed is she that raised him, that gave birth to him. And this section, I think, often gets misunderstood. I think historically is a major misunderstanding on this, because this is a part of where the basis for the Catholic prayer, the Hail Mary, comes from. This is where a part of the idolizing of Mary comes from in the Catholic teaching. Now, yes, we all know it's wrong to worship Mary. She is blessed, but she is a human woman, a sinner like we all are. And during the Protestant Reformation, this is one of the things that really was protested against, was idolizing and worshiping people other than Jesus. The saints and Mary and all these otherwise wonderful people were lifted up as higher than human and put on either close to or on the same level as Jesus. And that's what was one of the big protestations was during that time. But I think that we can also sometimes go too far the other direction in that. And we can just completely either ignore or dismiss who Mary was and what she actually did. Jesus here does not disagree with this woman. He does not tell her that she's wrong. He does not correct her. Instead, he shows what is greater than she. In essence, he says, yes, she is blessed, but there are some who are more blessed. And we look at that, and then the what he says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Now, first of all, thank you to Gene and Cindy for putting that exact verse down on the reader board at the road. So we see, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Mary was blessed because she gave birth to Jesus. But more than that, she was blessed because she heard the word of God and kept it. And those who believe in Christ, those who are saved by faith, including Mary, are even more blessed than the one who just gave birth to him. Jesus says elsewhere, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Now here's where we need to have a discussion about the law, about keeping the word, and about keeping his commands. The covenant that God made with Adam was, keep the rule that I give you, and you will have eternal life. Romans 5 is the probably the clearest example where we see that Adam was not only a literal man and the first man, but as such, he was the covenantal head of humanity. The covenant that God made with Adam, he made with mankind. Keep the rules I give you, and you shall live. Or put another way, disobey my rules, and you shall surely die. Adam broke the covenant, and therefore we have all broken the covenant. Adam broke the covenant, and so sin and death entered this world. In addition to this, we have all individually broken this covenant as well. Not just corporately as a group, but individually, all of us have fallen short of keeping this covenant. In fact, the Bible tells us that not a single one of us has the ability to keep the covenant. No human being, Jesus, of course, being the exception, but no single individual is able to not sin. Jesus is able to not sin, as we see in the Gospels. He is the greater Adam. He kept the covenant between God and humanity, and therefore is able to redeem mankind. He succeeds where Adam failed. And where Adam, as a representative of mankind, broke the covenant, Jesus, as a greater representative of mankind, lived a sinless and perfect life, kept the rules, the laws, the works, the things that God set down before him, and therefore earned eternal life for those who would trust in him. Jesus redeemed what Adam broke. We are still not able to keep our own end of this, and so it doesn't work to just put all the blame on Adam. We all have to take individual responsibility as well. And so we see that we are not able to keep our end of this covenant. And so a new covenant is offered to us. It is offered to us by the grace of God through faith in Christ and his works, the works that earned eternal life, Christ's righteousness, not our works, but Christ's works. And in that, the Holy Spirit changes our hearts and minds. He changes our desires and abilities. And now, through a new heart, we have some. The key word is some ability to not sin. We don't have a full ability. We will never have that ability till we are face to face with him. But through Christ, we have a new covenant. And now we are commanded not to obey and we shall live. Instead, we are commanded to live in Christ and then obey. And the order of that gets mixed up so much in churches today, and often unintentionally. I've probably said it wrong in the past, unintentionally. But the order of that is all of the key to the covenant that we have with Christ. We don't obey in order to live. We don't obey in order to earn God's favor. We don't obey in order to get anything, because we can't. Instead, we are brought into Christ. We live in Christ. We have Christ's righteousness put upon us. And then from that, we are commanded to do the good works that we were created for, to follow his commands. And the order of that is the key to everything. If you have a chance this week, I encourage you, read Galatians 3. I'm not going to read the whole thing here, but this is a great section by Paul that lays out the whole thing of salvation by works or by faith, and the relationship between Jesus and the law. Paul sums up the end of that chapter, Galatians chapter 3, verses 25 through 29, when he writes, "But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ you are all sons of God, through faith. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." The new covenant, the greater covenant, is here. Jesus is the greater Adam. Jesus initiated the new covenant, and we are partakers of it through faith. We have faith in what Jesus did and who he is. He initiated that covenant through his sinless life, through his death, through his burial and resurrection, through his bloodshed, and through his work on the cross. And when we are brought into this covenant, we are given everlasting life. We are given the forgiveness of sins, and we are given eternal communion with God. Sounds simple enough, right? Trust and obey. Believe and live. Accept that our inherent human nature is corrupted and has been since the fall in Genesis 3. We don't want God's grace as humanity, as human beings. We don't want his forgiveness. We want to think that we can do it all on our own. We want to think that we can earn God's favor and forgiveness. We want to think that we don't need forgiveness, that we're not bad enough to warrant for forgiveness or any discipline or punishment by God. We think that at least we are better than those around us, and that has to count for something. And so we are disinclined to believe the word of God, even when it becomes flesh and appears here on earth. Jesus is the word made flesh, and many disbelieved, and many more continued to seek for signs. As we continue to see, not just in the setting around Jesus during that time, 2,000 years ago, but through the ages and including today, including many in churches today that say, "Yes, I believe in God. Yes, I believe in Christ. Sure, I do. But I don't really need that forgiveness. I'm doing it. I'm doing a good enough job. You know, I'm building myself up. I'm pulling my life together. I'm this, I'm that." Churches across our country today, across the world today, they have that verbal affirmation, but without the trust and the belief inside. Despite the fact that Jesus has been giving them signs throughout his ministry, including the one they just witnessed. Despite all that, Jesus tells this crowd, says there, he will give one sign. He'll give one sign to mankind, and that is the sign of Jonah. It says that we don't deserve a sign. We've seen enough, and if we haven't already believed, we're not going to. So it says there will be one sign, the sign of Jonah. Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a fish, only to reemerge by the power and sovereignty of God and preach salvation and repentance to a city of sinners. Jesus would end up spending 3 days in the tomb, only to reemerge by the power and sovereignty of God and to achieve salvation and repentance and call sinners to repent to a world and a history of sinners. Jesus is the greater Jonah. And so as much as the Ninevites repented at Jonah's preaching, which we read about in this morning's scripture reading that I had Frank read, as much as Jonah's preaching, the Ninevites repented at that, how much more should we repent at the preaching and the signs that Jesus has shared? Jesus tells us about Jonah, and then he tells us, he doesn't name her, but tells us about Queen Sheba, the queen of the south. And she traveled basically the entire known world in order to hear the wisdom of King Solomon. King Solomon was the wisest man in the world. And she traveled to seek that wisdom that we have now at our fingertips in our Bibles. We know that Jesus is the greater Solomon. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, "You are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God." Christ is wisdom. And if Sheba was willing to travel so far to hear the wisdom of Solomon, how much more should we be willing to do to hear the wisdom of God presented to us in the Bible? How much more passion and devotion should we have to show in our pursuit of godly wisdom? Dave preached a great sermon just a little while ago on godly wisdom versus earthly wisdom, human wisdom. And I encourage you to go back and read it. Is it 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians that plays out? Read all of Corinthians. It's good for you. But especially the parts where it talks about that distinction between what is godly wisdom and what is worldly wisdom. And we should be pursuing with all our heart that godly wisdom. Jesus here now is not comparing himself to Jonah or to Solomon, but is instead he's arguing from the lesser to the greater. He is showing this has already happened. This is how people reacted. This was good. But it points to something even better. We see that throughout scriptures and the types of Jesus in the scriptures, the types that we see, the things that point ahead of time, hundreds of years, thousands of years ahead of time, point towards Jesus and who he is. And that's what he's saying. Solomon and Sheba were a type to point towards the wisdom of God. Jonah was a type to point towards the miraculous signs that Jesus would do to confirm the validity of his teachings, to show that he was who he said he was, and that he was there to save sinners. Jesus is the greater Jonah, and he is the greater Solomon. Think about whoever you look up to. Who is influential in your life? Who do you listen to? Who do you read? Think about who you let speak into your life. Jesus is greater. How much more should he influence you? How much more should he influence the way you think, the way you look at stuff, the way you see the world, the way you act? How much more should we listen to and read his words? He is the greater everything, and blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Ultimately, our judgment at the end is going to be based on what did we do with the truth when we were presented with it? Jesus says Jonah and the Ninevites are going to raise up and they're going to condemn those who heard the truth and rejected it. They're going to point that out. Say, we heard the truth. We repented. You heard the truth. You didn't. Sheba is going to raise up and say, I went after this wisdom of God. I chased after this godly wisdom. You were given the same opportunity, better opportunities. We have it right here written in front of us. We don't have to travel for it. And you rejected that godly wisdom. So our judgment is going to be based on what did we do with the truth when we were presented with it. We have been given all the information needed, all the signs we could ever want. And yet so many of us keep asking more signs, more evidence, more proof. One commentator points out, the fact is that the people who demanded another sign would not have been convinced by it or by any number of signs. Their seeking of a sign was not an indication of their willingness to believe if only adequate evidence was provided, but a rationalization of their unwillingness to believe the perfectly adequate evidence that they already had. We already have it. It's laid out in front of us. It's given to us, bound and typed so that we can read it anytime we want. God has given us all the evidence, all the signs we could ever need. He has told us, believe and you shall live. What are we doing with the truth that has been laid in our hands? Most of us in this room, most of us that would come to church on a Sunday morning would have the believe part down. I say most, but we would have that part of it. But are we doing what we're supposed to do from then? Are we doing the hearing his words and keeping it? Remember, this is not just knowing what the Bible says. It is not just memorizing verses. It's not only head knowledge, although that is an important part of it. But what we then do with that knowledge, that's the most important part. Do we turn that intellectual knowledge into a saving faith? Do we turn that intellectual knowledge in showing Christ our love for him, that we would keep his commands? Do we turn that intellectual knowledge into keeping his word, to loving God and loving our neighbor, to going out and doing the good works that he has prepared for us? God draws us to him and opens our eyes to the truth he has presented. We then believe and repent. We believe and we show our love for him by keeping his commands. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep them. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, you have given us the greatest of gifts, and you have offered us a second chance. We broke the first covenant that you made with humanity, with mankind. Each of us, as a group, as a corporate body, and individually, we did not obey your rules, and so we must surely die. But you gave us a second chance through Christ, that if we would believe in him, that whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. Give us that faith. If there is somebody here that does not have that yet, Lord, give them that faith. Call them to you. Draw them near to you. Change their heart. For those of us that have been changed by you, that are trying to and desire to live and to keep your word, Lord, help us. Because we can't do it. We certainly can't do it on our own. But help us to rest in you, to trust in you, to lean on you, and to do it through your power and your sovereignty. Help us to know your word and what you have called us to do, and help us to do it through you. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for us, for the death, burial, resurrection, for the shed blood, for keeping the covenant, so that we may be a part of the new covenant and spend eternity with you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Bangor Community Church. You can find us at facebook.com/BANGOR Community Church CA, all one word. If you would like to connect with Pastor Casey, please hop on over to CaseyHolenchek.com. That's CaseyHolenchek.com. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you again for listening and joining us on our journey through God's Word. If you've listened thus far and believe in our ministry or us as a family, please consider partnering with us. We would be honored to know that you are praying with and for us. If you feel compelled to give through financial support, information on how and where to give can be found at CaseyHolenchek.com/giving. Thank you and God bless.